56 mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Diamonds are forever.
Woo! Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 8:03 the time. Hour number two here on Sports 56 mornings. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, and Jay Hamm with you in the Monday, May 18th, 2026 edition. We're broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, they're at 2120 Witten Road. That's just north of Interstate 40. Currently 77. Already feels like 83. Yes, the humidity has arrived in Memphis. 89 degrees for the high today, so that means that feel like's going to be in the lower 90s. Will be a bit breezy, warm and humid, a little bit of clouds, a little bit of sun, a little mixture, then some rain in the forecast. Oh, for the next 4 days, doesn't mean it's an all-day affair. Right now I just see possibilities of thunderstorms Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Hour number two of this program brought to you each and every day by, say it all together, James Gattis Jewelers. They've been with us for years at 4900 Poplar between Mendenhall and St. Nick and on the web at GattisJewelers.com. 60 years to be exact, they've been in existence. They are yours, your family's jeweler. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 5, Saturday, 10 to 4, closed on Sunday. And every Monday and Friday, they bring you the Memphis Sports Fact. Did you know the University of Memphis Tigers baseball team, and we'll talk with Matt Reiser coming up at 9:05, they ended the regular season with 124 stolen bases. That's the second most in a single season in school history. The Tigers were number one in the American Conference and were in the top 25 nationally. Again, they will begin the American Conference tournament on Wednesday in Clearwater. We'll talk more college baseball later on in the show. You talked about Sunday. We were all hoping for the excitement of what could have been a dramatic Sunday. The NBA game did not go the way we had hoped. It was an absolute massacre as Cleveland destroyed Detroit in Game 7. Of course, that was after the PGA Championship wrapped up just outside of Philadelphia, the second major of the season. We had a million guys within three strokes. I mean, Not maybe a million, but close to it. It just seemed like everybody was in contention going into Sunday. We were going to have an unbelievable shootout. Alex Smalley led by two going in, the Duke product. And then lo and behold, one by one by one by one by one by one, they just fell to the wayside, couldn't make big putts, didn't make key shots, except for Aaron Rye. The Englishman wins the PGA Championship by shooting a 65, shot a 31 on the back nine, the first Englishman to win the PGA Championship in 107 years, and he put an exclamation point on his win with that 68-foot, unbelievable, incredible putt at 17 at Aronimink. Just an unbelievable performance by Rye, but the drama, Eli, unfortunately never happened.
Yeah, it was, you look at Scotty Scheffler, if I putted like Scotty Scheffler did, I would be angry with myself, and I'm not even close to the best golfer in the world. I don't understand what in the world happened to him over the weekend on short putts. 10 putts missed inside of 6 feet. For the best golfer in the world, 10 putts inside of 6 feet missed, including some three-footers. He just never could make a move. You got Rory, who is the best driver of the golf ball in the world, and he can't birdie the par fives. And then you got Aaron Rye, who isn't the longest hitter by any means. You know, people make fun of him because of the iron covers. They make fun of him because of the two gloves. And the dude was absolutely unbelievable those final 10 holes. From the moment he made the eagle on nine, I mean, he basically played perfect golf. It was just robot-like, seemingly. And congratulations to him. Yeah, I mean, nobody else could make a move. He finally did, and he made one hell of a move and never looked back. And that putt on 17 was insane. Made 18 look easy as well, which caused a lot of people problems. He was absolutely amazing that final 10 holes.
Yeah, and talk about not having drama. There were two more groups that were behind him. So when he finished up on 18, made a great shot, his approach shot, missed the putt, or he would have shot 64 by like an inch. But there was no drama because there were still groups to finish off, and he had to wait around with his wife and kill some time and then come back. But you mentioned, well, he's made fun of in certain regards, he's also respected. People, who was it that said, I think it was Xander Schauffele, that everybody loves Aaron Rye. He's considered one of the nicest guys on tour, and good guys do finish first sometimes. He got better every round, 70, 69, 67, 65, and pockets $3.69 million for the win. John Rahm from LIV, Alex Smalley, who had the two-shot lead going in to the fourth and final round, both finished tied for second at six under par. They had to settle for just $1.8 million apiece. Then Justin Thomas, Matty Schmid, Ludvig Åberg, all five under, tied for fourth. And then tying for seventh, Cameron Smith, also from LIV. LIV had a pretty good showing. Xander Schauffele, Rory McIlroy. McIlroy just, he never got it going. He had a lot of good putts that just missed a little left, a little right, a little short. He just couldn't find the groove. And then the frustration on the par fives where he shot even par for the tournament on par fives, which he usually eats up. And that last one, which was hole number 16, he put it in the bunker, may have put it in the bunker twice, and then had the little back and forth with one of the fans with the USA chants. He was not happy.
No, obviously a lot of frustration, as he said, like when the drivable par four, he makes bogey. And again, just not able to take advantage. He couldn't keep the ball in the fairway. He kept missing, and that rough was penal. Just really hard to play out of that rough. With the tilt to some of those fairways, a lot of times he would land it in the fairway and then it would just roll into the rough, whatever. But again, for Scotty to do what he did putting and for Rory to not be able to take advantage of the par fives, just that's what will open the door for somebody like Aaron Rye. And again, he did everything he could possibly do. He's always been known as a great ball striker, hit the ball straight as could be. It's like he's always been known, not long, but straight as could be, and kept the ball in the fairway, just hit some of them, and it was like robot-like. He was pretty much the last 10 holes didn't miss a shot. Like, it was just everything you would ask to do on every shot is where he would put it. Like, it was unbelievable.
It didn't even seem like he was sweating, to be honest with you. And you're right, while he's not a long hitter, he still belted that drive on 18. What was it, 340, somewhere in that neighborhood? Yeah, Rory gets up there and hits it 370 or 380, but my gosh, he still belted the darn thing and then put it right on the green, had a shot at the birdie to end 18, to end his tournament, and just missed, but it didn't matter. He was already in control by then. John Rahm had a lot of putts, again, that just burned the edges. Everybody had their opportunity. Åberg was back and forth. Cameron Smith had a great chance and then just went dry at the end. Now, Justin Thomas was 5-under. He was in the clubhouse. He had to wait, 2.5 hours? People were finally realizing he could leave. And he had to wait around for a long time because he posted 5-under really early.
Yeah, he was done. I don't even know how long it was, but it was a long time. They were early. The leaders were early in their front nine when Justin Thomas finished.
So here's that international flair I talked about to open up the show. Rye from England. Then you had a Spaniard, an American, a German, a Swede, an Australian, an American, Northern Ireland, another Englishman, another American. So again, the mixture of players from all continents, from all around the world, really more than it's ever been. Sure, we've had international players and stars over the years for many, 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 many years. But now it just seems like they're finding golfers from countries that didn't play golf 50 years ago. And they're finding
these Nordic countries now producing the players that they're producing. The Norways, the Finlands, the Denmarks, there's a lot more of them than there has ever been. And look, there were low scores to be had. Just ask Kurt Kitayama on Sunday, who shot a 63. It ties the lowest score in the final round of a major in major golf history.
Yeah, he was terrific. He could kind of play freely. And the course got more difficult. Pretty much every day it got more difficult because the wind generally picked up as the day went along. Those greens got really baked out. They were rock hard by the end of the day yesterday. But yeah, that's the thing. Like, that's the front nine, especially. The front nine was generally gettable most days. It's certainly the easier of the two. And again, it was seeing what Kitayama did. You're like, okay, what if we get a few of guys that were able to go out and do that? We could have a really fun back nine. And they're just, everybody was mostly stuck in neutral.
Yeah, that's what we were hoping for as fans.
Even Aaron Rye was stuck in neutral for the first eight. And then all of a sudden, and he makes the eagle on nine. And then from there, just was absolutely incredible. And everybody else was still stuck in neutral the rest of the way. You kept thinking, okay, is this where Rory, could Rory make an eagle on one of the par five? Or could he drive the green and maybe make eagle or something? And he just was a little bit off with his driver and kept missing fairways. And when you're not in the fairway out there, it's just not going to, it's generally not going to go well.
I know there was a long way to go after he did this, but when he eagled that hole on nine, I thought to myself, he's won this tournament. And I had actually on Saturday, after he had got to four under par, I said, this is, somebody like this is going to win. Because for many, many years, to me, it seemed like out of the four majors, of course, the Masters is a limited field. I understand that. But it always seemed like there was a guy that came out of nowhere to win the PGA. Our very own good friend, Sean McKeel, right? He came out of nowhere to win in 2003. And he wasn't alone. A lot of guys have done that. And I don't know if it's coming out of nowhere, but I think it's close to nowhere. Even if it's not, he can see it from where he was, Aaron Rye. But congratulations. That was just a great win. So now you got two more majors to go. The U.S. Open will be next month, Shinnecock Hills, Long Island, New York. And then you'll have the Open Championship. Where's the Open Championship this year? It's not St. Andrews, is it?
No. It's not St. I'm not sure where, but it's not St. Andrews.
Okay. And then before too long, FedEx St. Jude Championship and the FedEx Cup playoffs.
I'm stunned that there hadn't been an English winner of the PGA Championship in 107 years. Like, that's crazy to me. I never would have guessed in a million years that that was a thing, that they just have never, they just don't win the PGA Championship. I also didn't realize how dominant Americans had been in the PGA Championship, with this being the first winner since, first international winner, since I think 2015, I guess it was, whatever. But I didn't realize just the run that the Americans were on in the PGA Championship. But I would have never guessed that it's been that long for an English golfer to win the PGA Championship.
Yeah, I was surprised by that as well. From the world of the NFL, over the weekend, it finally happened. This was, to me, just once again, Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers. I think by the actions of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that there did not seem to be any panic, that they knew already. I said this last year, that they knew they were getting Aaron Rodgers. I can't imagine another year. It's a one-year deal. He could make as much as $25 million, but he is back in Pittsburgh for another year. New head coach Mike McCarthy, who he teamed with in Green Bay to win a Super Bowl. I got to think that this is the swan song. This is it. I know some people said that last year. I didn't believe so. I thought he was going to come back for another year, and I thought it was going to be Pittsburgh. And then he talked glowingly about Pittsburgh, about the fans, about the organization. So it's just Aaron on Aaron time. I don't know if it's going to make a difference. They went out. They made some moves with the receivers. They get Metcalf. They added some pieces. I think there's still some pieces away. But they got their guy, who's now, how old's Rodgers now? 42?
Something like that.
You keep him upright, and he can still throw the ball. You get to Aaron Rodgers, he's immobile. And that's the key, the offensive line. Can they protect him? But when you get another weapon like they did with Metcalf, they got some defensive pieces.
Metcalf last year.
Well, yeah, but
didn't do anything.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But they also went out and they got the Colts receiver, whose name escapes me. They had another receiver from the Colts. Good receiver who I was not happy. Who was that?
Pittman.
Pittman, yeah, Michael Pittman. So you got Pittman, you got Metcalf, no longer Calvin Austin from the University of Memphis. He's going on to the Giants. Freiermuth at tight end. They got a couple of other receivers. I mean, certainly they got weapons. Can the running game perform the way they need it to? And it all goes back to that offensive line. Opening up holes, protecting for Aaron Rodgers. But today, 8 teams kick off OTAs. So football right around the corner, NFL football. Bills, Cardinals, Dolphins, Falcons, Raiders, Ravens, Titans, and the aforementioned Steelers begin their OTAs today. Also, over the weekend, if the PGA and the NBA playoffs weren't enough, we had the second of the horse racing Triple Crown races. The unfortunate thing about it was that we did not have the Kentucky Derby winner racing in the Preakness. And the race was at Laurel Park as opposed to Pimlico, where they do where they're doing renovations. And in the end, it was Napoleon Solo, who I loved. I love the gray horses, but there were 3 gray horses in that race. But Napoleon Solo goes off, ended up going off at 10-1, wins the race. Iron Honor was second, and Chip Honcho ended up third.
Yeah, the just kind of hung in there, right there, second place, pretty much the entire race behind Taj Mahal. And then Taj Mahal just did not have anything left. Taj Mahal looked like the final stretch for Taj Mahal looked like the Detroit Pistons game 7. There was just nothing left. They all started running past him like he was stopped, man. That poor horse was like he could have went to the other team's huddle and shook hands and said, "I'm done. Good night, everybody." Man, again, like he just like he hit a wall, and every horse seemingly ran past him down that stretch. And Good finish for Solo. Napoleon Solo did have that final kick, and even when the other horse came on the outside, I thought it was going to get there. But Napoleon Solo had that one extra final kick and ran away with it.
So 3 more weeks, and the Belmont will take place once again. The Belmont will not be in Elmont, New York. It will be where the Belmont is. No, it'll be once again at Saratoga Springs because they continue to refurbish the Belmont and they'll be ready next year. So 2 of the 3 Triple Crown races are, or at least one already and one to come, venues that aren't the normal venues for those races.
So on the PGA Championship, we talked obviously Friday about Garrick Higo and his missing or being late for his tee time, his on time but late tee time. He ends up missing the cut by 1 shot. So last place, the last place finisher got $23,900. So at the very minimum, Garrick Higo's inability to show up for his tee time on time cost him $23,900. That's if he did nothing over the weekend. That's if he played terribly over the weekend. He was going to get $23,900 if he just shows up for his tee time on Thursday.
You think he'll be late again for an event?
That is...
For a tee time? No way.
That's, I mean, gosh almighty. For a guy, I mean, not like Garrick Higo's, they're all doing, most of these guys are doing fine. But, you know, this is like a guy who's got a bunch of wins, who's got more money than you can imagine. To lose out on basically $24,000 because you were a minute late. Whoo, man, that one's, that's a tough pill to swallow.
No, again, it's just stupid. I don't understand. Punctuality. Get there, so what? You got to wait around a little bit. You got to wait around a couple of minutes. Have a sip of water, loosen up. It doesn't make any sense to be over there for an extra putt on the putting green and have a chance that you'll be late for your tee time and it'll cost you. And as you said, it did cost him. All right, when we come back, we got a lot of baseball to get into, both Major League Baseball and college baseball. Before we do that, I want to tell you about one of our great sponsors. That's All Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Are you ready for summer? All the new Silverados are in Olive Branch at All-Star Chevrolet. No interest financing or $7,000 in cash. Wow. Go big with your new HD Silverado. Make no payments all summer. No payments all summer with your new Trax Colorado truck or a new Traverse with the third row seat. Your good credit deserves it. This is Military Appreciation Month. Our friends at All-Star love our military. In May, get a $1,000 military appreciation bonus on almost every Chevy model here. That's $1,000. And if you want a barely driven certified Chevy or the hottest pre-owned Chevy, All-Star is spot on. Tahoe, Suburbans, Trailblazers. For all your fleet and commercial express cargo passenger vans, All-Star Chevy is the top-rated business elite dealer. So together, let's drive. Don't miss the Ready for Summer event going on now in Olive Branch at All-Star Chevrolet and online at allstarautogroup.com. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255.
56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Genuine diamonds, baby.
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
The SEC baseball tournament will begin tomorrow. Once again, they will be implementing the ABS, the system that will basically give you the option to dispute a home plate umpire's strike or ball call, and then you'll go to the replay, and that's what they're using right now. Major League Baseball was not used during the regular season. Three challenges per team, and so it's been implemented here in the SEC tournament. But the action will get underway tomorrow. First round action, and the first game will pit number 9 seed Ole Miss and number 16 seed Missouri. That game will start at 9:30 from Hoover, Alabama. That means the pregame starts at 9, so we will be shortened tomorrow. We'll only have 2 hours from 7 until 9 o'clock before we hand things off to the Ole Miss Radio Network and the broadcast call of David Kellum from Hoover.
Yeah, they draw the early time slot tomorrow, and then if they win, same time on Wednesday as well. And you would expect Ole Miss to win tomorrow, playing Missouri, who has struggled mightily. Then they would advance. You would get the Egg Bowl, get Ole Miss, Mississippi State, possibly, in a second-round game. Again, the SEC, it's amazing when you look at some of these, like, where teams are seeded, and you think about, like Mississippi State, I think, was at one point, like, the number one team in the country. I know they were in the top five for a while, and they're the 8th seed in the SEC tournament. Like, that's how brutal the SEC is.
LSU was the preseason pick to win the SEC. They're the 14th seed.
Yeah, it's been a rough year for the defending champions. They have it has not gone well for them. But it's, you know, Tennessee, who has been very highly ranked, they're playing on day one as the 10 seed. I mean, it's just, it's the SEC in baseball is just unbelievable.
So Ole Miss, Missouri tomorrow, 9:30. Then Vandy, Kentucky. Vandy the 12, Kentucky the 13. You mentioned Tennessee, the 10 seed. They'll go at 4:30. That's Central Time versus number 15, South Carolina. That'll be followed by number 11, Oklahoma, and number 14, LSU. The teams that await tomorrow, you mentioned Mississippi State awaits the Ole Miss Missouri winner. They're the 8 seed. Florida's the 5 seed. They get the Vandy Kentucky winner. Arkansas, the 7 seed, will take on Tennessee or South Carolina. And then Auburn, the 6 seed, will get the Oklahoma and LSU winner. Is it single elimination in the first round?
It's single elimination all the way through.
It's single elimination all the way through. Okay, so Ole Miss's season on the line today against Kerrick Jackson in Missouri. Of course, Kerrick Jackson, the former Memphis Tigers baseball coach from, I guess, several years ago. Let's say it would be 4 years ago, because this is the third year for Matt Reiser. But it's anybody's ball game, isn't it? I mean, the top four seeds are Georgia 1, Texas 2, Texas A&M 3, and Alabama 4. All great programs. But I think all bets are off when you get to single elimination tournament when you have all these good teams.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there certainly are, you know, a number of teams that are very, very capable of putting a run together and winning the SEC tournament. You know, obviously those teams that have the double bye into the quarterfinals. It's just a huge advantage because of the way it sets up for pitching. So those top four seeds have the massive advantage there, but certainly is not going to be out of the question for one of the other teams that's playing on day one or day two to make a run and win the SEC tournament.
Now, the American Conference tournament has only half the teams that the SEC tournament has. 8 of their 10 go, and Memphis, by winning their first game against Charlotte on Thursday, clinched a spot in the tournament for the first time in 3 years. They had a chance to win that series. Unfortunately, Charlotte scores 3 in the bottom of the ninth to win the series. Memphis still finishes as the number 5 seed in the American Conference tournament. They will open up as the 5 seed against Charlotte. So they'll play the team they just played, Charlotte, the 8 seed. So you got 5, 6, 7, and 8 for the first day. And those two games are single elimination. The losers are done. Memphis, if they win, they will move on. And then it becomes double elimination. And they would play UAB if they won. So, obviously, pressure on Memphis in that first game. We'll talk to Matt Reiser about it at 9:05 when he joins us in studio. But the Tigers did their job. A late flurry to end the season with series wins over East Carolina and UTSA to put themselves in the position to get to the tournament. Now, in the majors, we had a wacky weekend of things, including a couple of Subway series. I guess in Chicago is what? The L Train? Is that what they call it?
Yes.
The L Train series? I hate to bring up...
it's a Crosstown Classic.
Crosstown Classic. All right. It's a Subway series in New York. Yeah, the Chicago White Sox, in a come-from-behind win, beating the Chicago Cubs, your Chicago Cubs, 9-8 in the third and final game of the series in 10 innings. And the Pale Hose reign supreme in the city of Chicago, in the second city, as they win that series 2-1. What is your explanation, Mr. Cub?
The White Sox played well. The Cubs had some issues once again. They continue to have issues with hitting with runners in scoring position. And yesterday, the bullpen was a bit of a train wreck, and the White Sox end up hitting the walk-off home run in the bottom of the 10th inning after the Cubs had scored one in the top of the 10th. They gave up the two-run shot to walk it off in the bottom of the 10th. The Cubs should have gotten more. They had the bases loaded, had a good situation in the top of the 10th, but couldn't score more than one, and then the walk-off home run ended it. So, yeah, the White Sox continue to play well at this point.
Edgar Caro with a two-run home run in the 10th inning to win it for the White Sox. It's weird because the National League Central has been one of the stories so far in baseball. But going into this new week, all on losing streaks. Cubs have lost 2 in a row. Now, Milwaukee and St. Louis have only lost 1. That was their Sunday game. Pittsburgh has lost 3, and Cincinnati has lost 2 in a row. So all 5 teams on a losing streak. In the Subway Series, another surprise. White Sox beat the Cubs in Chicago. The New York Mets, struggling all year long, they win in 10 innings over the Yankees. They win in walk-off fashion, 7-6. They get the big 3-run home run in the ninth by Taylor to force the extra innings eventually. And then the Mets get the win and win the series 2-1.
Yeah, Mets are starting to play a little bit better baseball. While the Yankees are struggling right now, the Yankees now 3 games behind Tampa Bay in that AL East. They have they've lost 7 of their last 10, so they're struggling a little bit. And the Mets, I don't know if this is a sign that they're actually figuring some things out, but they're playing a little bit better baseball than what they were early when they had the long losing streak.
Still 6 games under 500 are the Metropolitans, 20-26, 11.5 out behind the Braves in the NL East. Run differential, though, now minus 16. Not that that means a lot, but it was a lot worse. So they are playing a little bit better. They decided to keep their skipper. They did not make a move. And we'll see. They got a long way to go. In the meantime, one of the hottest teams, my Phillies, 15-4 under Don Mattingly. And now they've surged to over 500. They got a ways to go, though, to catch the Braves, if they can even catch the Braves. But they're 8 games out now. They've moved into second place, 24-23. And there's a long way to go in the season. And as far as a wild card right now for the playoffs, if they were to start today, they would be out. But only 3.5 games now behind the Cardinals and the Brewers, who own the last 2 wild card spots. The Padres would own the first. But as I said, we're a quarter of the way through the season, and the Phillies have become a hot team in Major League Baseball. Also, some other injury news. Jose Altuve now on the injured list for the Astros with an oblique strain, but they're struggling. They're a team that I thought would struggle this year. The rain is done. The Astros now got to think about maybe unloading what's left of that team from their glory days, which includes Altuve. But they got beat by the Rangers 8-0.
Yeah, you mentioned injuries, man, and it has been all around baseball. Big names continuing to go down with injuries, from pitchers to position players to everything. It is becoming a bit of a survival of the fittest, and that's why I think you could see some of these surprise teams, because if you could stay healthy right now, you got a pretty darn good chance, because seemingly every team in baseball has dealt with some key injury or multiple key injuries.
Yeah, there's no question about it. We talked about the series in Chicago, the series in New York, and then, of course, there was the series in Los Angeles, which is not much of one. The Dodgers and the Halos, and the Dodgers sweep that series as they blow out the Angels 10-1 to win the Sunday finale. The Angels now 16-31, a minus 60 run differential, which is the worst in baseball. How do the Angels do it? Every single year, they are steady Eddies being crap. And Mike Trout, you got to think by the trade deadline, is going to finally be moved. I know he's talked about it before. He's enjoyed his time in Los Angeles. He respects the organization. But I think this is a Giannis situation. There's only so many times that you can praise the organization and say that you're going to stay with an organization. And certainly Giannis has done that. But now I think he will be dealt. I think it's going to come to a head and he'll be dealt. And I think the same thing with Mike Trout.
Yeah, I mean, what they want to do, first of all, they need him to stay healthy. And if he can stay healthy and continue to hit, certainly I would think that there would be some teams out there that would be very much interested in acquiring Mike Trout. And I don't know what exactly you can get for him right now or what they can get for him, but it certainly he is not doing them any good. They are absolutely awful. Worst record in baseball. So looking to move him, if they can get some prospects, that would probably be a pretty smart move for the Angels.
The only division that is who's in control is the National League East right now, with the Braves up 8 on the Phillies. But the Phillies are coming. With a bullet, the Phillies are coming. But the National League Central, the Cubs lead down to 1.5 over the Brewers and Cardinals. The National League West, the Padres. Look, the Padres are a star-studded team. They have a big payroll. Not the Dodgers' payroll, not as many stars, but they certainly have their stars, and they're playing well. They're 10-500. They're 0.5 game behind the Dodgers. And then in the American League, Tampa's got a 3-game lead over the Yankees. They were trailing. Now they're ahead. Now they're up by 3. And then after that, Blue Jays, Orioles, and Red Sox kissing goodbye. So it's a 2-team race. The American League Central, Guardians by 1 over the surprising White Sox. Twins, Tigers are one of those teams that you talked about with the injuries. 5.5 games out. Royals are 5.5 out as well. So it's not over, certainly, for all 5 of those teams. But I think this is a race between the Guardians. And if the Tigers can get healthy, I don't know. Maybe the White Sox have sustaining power for this year. And then in the West, the West is kind of kooky, other than the Angels being last, which you would expect. The A's are in first, the Sacramento A's, soon to be the Vegas A's, formerly the Oakland A's. They lead the Rangers by 1 game, who I still like to win that division, along with the Mariners. It's a 2-team race, I think, but the A's are hanging in there, and they got some talent. I'll be curious to see what the A's do at the trade deadline. Texas a game out, Seattle two out. Astros, despite being 10 under 500 or five out, but I see them being a seller. And then speaking of the cellar dwellers, the LA Angels.
The folks at the Athletic continue to roll out the results of their NBA anonymous player poll. And they've done some more stuff today, including one question that that pertains to us here in Memphis. We'll get to that coming up. But I do want to tell you about, of course, Central Barbecue. Everybody knows Central Barbecue at the various locations around town and the delicious barbecue there. Making on a daily basis from their delicious ribs to their, I love their smoked turkey. Of course, they've got the great hot wings, too, from the non-barbecue side of things. But now the Midtown location, that's, of course, where the original is, right there on Central in Midtown, 2235 Central. Now, it's no longer that original building. It's a brand-new building and all that. But they now are serving breakfast daily from 7 a.m. until 10:30 a.m. Biscuits, burritos, toaster sandwiches, French toast. Got to try the brisket burrito for breakfast that they have over at the Central Avenue location of Central Barbecue. Also, now a full bar as well, serving mixed drinks, wine, and local beers. Open daily from 11 a.m. until close, the OG Bar. That also, again, the Central Avenue location. Go on in, try out their Tiger Margarita. So again, 2235 Central Avenue, still serving up that delicious barbecue on a daily basis, but now also serving up breakfast from 7 a.m. until 10:30 a.m. daily, and the OG Bar, serving up everything, mixed drinks, wine, local beers, from 11 a.m. until close every day over at the Central Avenue location of Central Barbecue.
This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Isn't it a lovely morning?
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
So over the past month or so, The Athletic has released bits and pieces of their anonymous NBA player poll that they do every year. They've done three or four questions at a time that they've released, and they've released some more this morning. One of the questions they asked that is in this one is, what team will Giannis be on to begin next season? And of the 151 players that responded, 45.7% believe he will be back in Milwaukee. So the players overwhelmingly think that Milwaukee will make the decision to end up keeping him. Miami second, 23%, and the Knicks at 16%.
Well, it's still 55% think that he won't be back.
Yeah. The Timberwolves got a couple of votes. Warriors got a couple of votes. Rockets, Raptors. Oklahoma City got a vote.
Oh, gosh.
San Antonio got a vote.
How about the Grizzlies?
Grizzlies did not get a vote. Grizzlies were not mentioned in that one.
Were not others receiving votes?
Which arena has the most passionate fans?
Is this where Memphis is mentioned?
Who do you think would have the most, who do you think they would say have the most passionate fans?
Oklahoma City?
The people in Toronto get pretty hype.
The Thunder, Paycom Center is third. The Raptors are way down there, only 1.2%.
Okay, let's see.
FedEx Forum. FedEx Forum is in others receiving votes. They got one vote.
They got a vote?
They got one vote.
How about the Warriors?
The Warriors, 3.1% of the vote.
How about the Knicks?
Knicks second, 19.3% of the vote. Just behind, I guess, would be two votes behind the leader. Another team on...
Sixers?
No. But that...
Celtics.
That part of the world, yes. The Celtics. TD Garden, 20%, 20.5% of the votes went to Boston on that one. Which arena has the most obnoxious fans?
Philly.
They're second, 17.9%.
Utah.
No.
No, but they got a couple of fans that are pretty bad.
They are fourth, though. They got 8.2%.
That's pretty
good. They're right ahead of the Grizzlies. Vernon
Maxwell will rank them number one. He hates Utah.
The Grizzlies pulled in 3.8% of the votes on this one for the most obnoxious fans.
Yeah, we're always on the most appealing lists, aren't we? So who's number one? Obnoxious fans. Could it be the Celtics also on that list?
It could be a fine line between passionate and obnoxious. The Celtics got 32% of the vote for obnoxious. So they got 20% for the passionate. They get 32% for obnoxious. Again, fine line between those two things. And there's been a lot of historically racist stuff that's come out of Boston.
I mean, they had a movie made about them. Celtic Pride, you know. So.
What is the first team on your no-trade list?
What is the first team? The first team I say I don't want to go to.
Yes.
Oh, this is where the Grizzlies come in, right?
I'm with Vernon Maxwell. Don't send me to Utah.
The Grizzlies with 35.8% of the vote. The next closest is the Wizards at 11.7%.
Oh, come on, man.
Out of 120 players, over a third of them say that the Grizzlies are the number one team they do not want to be traded to.
I want to know, do they give the reasons why? Are they riding the coattails of LeBron James saying there's not enough nice hotels? What are they saying here?
I believe this was done before the LeBron comments.
Oh, jeez.
Wizards at 11.7, Sacramento 10.8%, Pelicans 6.7%. Then the Nets and the Jazz both at 5%. Grizzlies 35.8%.
So Sacramento at 10 and Memphis is at 35. Wow. My gosh.
So again,
no wonder we have an inferiority complex.
We go back to the whole thing of why Grizzlies can't sign free agents, and there are, like, for some reason, still there are people out there that act like that's not a thing. 35% of the players polled said the Grizzlies are the number one team they do not want to be traded to.
Okay, how much of it is the organization? How much of it is the city?
There was a comment from one of the players. One player, it has nothing to do with the team. It's the location of the team. Another one, I'll play anywhere, honestly, but I would have to say Memphis is a place I don't want to live. So that would be the reason why I wouldn't want to play there.
Man. You know what's interesting? You got the predominant amount of NBA players are African American. And this city's predominantly black. I just don't get it.
It's just sometimes just a disconnect with the city. Because, like, even one time I heard when Gilbert Arenas was here, he was killing us about not having, you know, like, you guys don't go to the mall? I'm like, no, Gil, they shoot at the mall around.
Yeah. You know? Well, unfortunately, malls are going down the crapper everywhere, but
we don't have the things that millionaires love. Yeah. Like, we don't, that's the bottom line. We don't have the amenities in this city that they
what,
have.
What, strip
at the
clubs?
Other
we got them still.
No, we don't.
not like they used to be. Just ask Eli. I mean, I think we got good restaurants. Do we have enough of them? I don't know. I think we have enough.
We don't have the five-star hotels, restaurants.
They're going to live in a house, for goodness sake.
Those types of things that these people are used to.
They're going
to
live in Eads.
It's a style of living we're not accustomed to.
And Sacramento has it?
Which we know that's not the case, you know.
Utah.
You see what I'm saying? Right now, we're just the one that's easy.
I don't understand it. I just don't.
We're the easy one to pick on right now.
Yeah, Utah. Yeah, all those guys are going skiing, right?
Right.
Come on, man. God, Memphis just gets piled on. I don't get it. I came here and stayed here. I've been here 31 years.
You're not an NBA player making $40 million a year.
I know, but I'm trying to think, what are they using that $40 million on? They buy a real nice house, which you can get in Memphis, and you can have one built, and you can live in the suburbs if you want, or you can. There's beautiful houses in the city.
And they're likely, all of these dudes, that they're, you know, majority, if not all of them, they're probably max contract guys.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, it's not like your Brevin Knight, who played here once he retired and was done, remained in the city, you know, with his family. It's not. It's a different scenario.
No,
Zach Randolph's still here. Tony Allen's still here. A lot of, you know.
I'm just trying to think. You got, I mean, the South and Memphis women. I mean, in the whole Mid-South, women? Are you kidding me?
Right.
You want to gamble? There's gambling.
Right. It's great proximity within a lot. We have our
I think
our
the restaurants are great. I'm trying to think. There are some strip clubs, not like they used to be, but I guess there's – I don't go to them. But, I mean, what else? I don't know. Build yourself a beautiful house. I don't know. I think it still all has to do with the perception. Some of these guys, maybe not even, except for, well, I assume they were here, zipped in, zipped out for a game. But people who haven't even been to Memphis jump into this discussion, and they don't know. They're piling on. They're jumping on the coattails of somebody, and they're coming out and saying the same things. It just bothers me. It's the whole thing about the damn Big 12. And don't get me started about. But you weren't with us when I went on my soapbox about the Big 12. To turn down the offer that they got from Memphis. Again, it's you know the reason why. And so this pisses me off to hear this. But then again, I don't expect it to be better than New York, Chicago, Miami, Los Angeles. Yes, it would be very, very, very low. But I'm really surprised at the 25% difference between Sacramento and Memphis. Not saying Sacramento's not a nice town, but I'm sure it is. But, man, Sacramento. I mean, if you're going to do things, you're going to San Francisco.
I've never been to Sacramento. I have no idea. I have never been there, so I don't know what Sacramento is like at all. Reggie Texas says, that's fine. Let's go after grit and grind guys that want to be here. F them.
Yeah.
Another one says living in Memphis is a whole lot better than living in New York or Los Angeles. Not for these guys. Not when you have all of the money in the world.
Yeah, I mean, but you're right. For the players, for regular people, sure, some love to live in the big cities, but you want the easygoing life where your dollar goes a lot farther than a city like Memphis and cities of this equivalent make a lot of sense than the big city where it's going to cost you an arm and a leg just to have a little small studio apartment. Absolutely. What I want to bring
Reggie
up
says, I live outside of Charlotte. Nothing great here. Charlotte was kind of middle of the pack, one of those other middle of the pack, like 3 or 4% of the vote that they got as far as the place.
Yeah, nothing to write home about, but nothing I would complain about. I've been to Charlotte a million times. I don't know. Memphis football, they have added an additional kicker in Nick Amepesic. 3 years at Michigan State, limited action. Not sure, again, if he's coming in to take over for the guy that was projected as the kicker, if there's any kind of issue or just more competition, or now he comes in as the leading candidate. Not sure, but that was yesterday out there in the news that Memphis has added a kicker here as they get ready for the 2026 season, and camp will open up early August as they will play week 0. All right, we'll take a break. Before we do so, I want to tell you folks about Shoot 360 Memphis. Now, I mentioned a million times that Thaddeus Young is one of the owners of Shoot 360 Memphis, and he also supports his team, Thad, and they were involved heavily over the weekend in the big event that took place in Memphis, featuring some of their great teams and great players and great coaches. And a lot of those folks are still associated, or the coaches are associated with Shoot 360 Memphis. And when you head over to Shoot 360 Memphis in Collierville or in Cordova, you get that one-on-one expert coaching. Guys that have coached these kids at the EYBL level. It's a revolutionary basketball training facility. It combines cutting-edge technology with gamification. You're going to get instant feedback when you jump into one of these shooting bays with the Shoot 360 technology. Analytical information every time you put up a shot. You're going to get the coaching as well. For youngsters, you go in there to learn the game of basketball. It's a great way to learn passing drills, whether it be bounce passes, chest passes. You're knocking target. You're hitting targets on a screen, on a big screen. So it's like playing a video game, but you're being active while playing a video game. So Shoot 360 is for little kids, for older kids, for adults as well, anybody who wants to get their shot on, even professionals. That's why guys like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson have used the Shoot 360 method. And you can join on a monthly basis. How do you join? Well, you could stop by or you can give them a call. Big Orange Road, that's the location of the Cordova facility, 50,000 square feet. Call them at 901-779-3176. Tell them you heard it here on Sports 56 Mornings and would like a tour of the facility. In Collierville, the original, 85 Market Street, 901-316-5500. They're equipped with those shooting bays as well with the Shoot 360 technology. Get your shot on, become a better all-around basketball player, but specifically a better shooter by joining Shoot 360 Memphis today. The future of basketball training is here at Shoot 360 Memphis. On the other side, Matt Reiser joins us to open up Hour 3. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.